Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, as we make our way through 1 John, and we are, of course, in chapter 5 and moving quickly toward the end, we come to what is probably the best-known text in the entire book. And I'm referring to 1 John 5:13, which deals with the subject of assurance of salvation. Now, we've already seen that subject before, but we have not looked at this text, which is the most well-known one on that subject. And I read it now in 1 John 5:13. "These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." That is, I think, probably the best-known text in the entire five chapters of 1 John, and maybe the only text in 1 John that is known by some Christians. But it, like all portions of God's Word, all verses, all passages of God's Word, needs to be understood correctly, and it is undoubtedly often misunderstood. Sometimes it goes something like this, and I'm reaching way into my past for times I've heard something like this. 1 John 5:13 tells us that we can know that we are saved. The Bible says that we can know it. Question, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? If you have, you are saved, never doubt it. Now, that kind of approach is a disconnect from what the text actually says. So that's why we need to study it not only carefully in its own setting, that is, the words of the text itself, but also in its context, which we intend to do. So thank you for joining me on this Monday, January 21, and many thanks to those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on the station. Now, actually, I'm coupling my examination of verse 13 with the two preceding verses, verses 11 and 12. And verses 11 and 12 explain for us the essence of salvation, and then verse 13, assurance of salvation. What is the essence of salvation? And here it is, verse 11. "And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." What is this telling us? Well, it tells us something about the possession of eternal life. It tells us something about the division of humanity. But first of all, the possession of eternal life, and we learn in verse 11 that it is a gift from God, it is life from God, and it is bound up in the Son of God. It is a gift from God. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. Clear statement. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. Clearly, therefore, we are dependent upon God for eternal life, for He and He alone can give it. We are destitute of eternal life until He gives it, until God grants eternal life, until God gives us eternal life. We are without it. and the only way to get it is from God. But furthermore, once it is given, it is a present and future possession. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. He's talking, of course, to Christians, to the people of God. And we need to understand where our salvation came from. And here it is presented to us in terms of eternal life, and it is a gift from God. But it is not only a gift from God, it is the life of God. This is a testimony that God has given us eternal life. What is eternal life? Well, clearly, eternal life is more than simply existing forever. Everyone will exist forever. Those who are saved, those who are lost. Being lost does not mean that there will come a time when you cease to exist. But those who are lost, those who go out into eternity apart from Christ, do not have eternal life. So death is not ceasing to exist, and life is not merely existing eternally. And that's normally what we think of when we think of the term eternal life. We are going to exist forever. But again, clearly not true, because those who do not have eternal life will exist forever. And therefore, we need to understand that eternal life is the possession of and participation in divine life. In other words, the emphasis is more upon quality of life than it is upon duration of life. It's not that the duration aspect is totally absent. Of course, eternal life lasts eternally, but again, we're not talking about mere existence, existing eternally, because, again, everybody fits that category. We all have a never-dying soul. And yet, some have eternal life, some do not. Some, with that never-dying soul, go out into the presence of God, into heaven, into the presence of Jesus Christ and the holy angels and all the redeemed people of God, and others go out into eternal existence, separated from God, existing forever with the devil and his angels in the lake of fire. But that is an eternal existence. I shudder to think about it. So the eternal life that God gives is the possession of divine life, and it is participation in divine life. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. Eternal life. He has given us the life that he himself possesses. Now, I say that reverently and I say that carefully, but the Bible does talk about that we are partakers of the divine nature. Peter tells us that. Now, I do not claim to understand in any kind of detail exactly in what way we are partakers of the divine nature. I simply point out that that is stated to us in the Word of God. Christians are partakers of the divine nature. We have something of the life of God within us, and that is evidently what John is talking about here. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And so the possession of eternal life is the essence of salvation. It is a gift from God, it is the life of God, and, as this verse goes on to say, it is bound up in the Son of God. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This life is inseparably related to God's Son. Elsewhere, we are told that he who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son has not life. Again, this kind of life, this divine life, this eternal life, Everybody has eternal existence, but only those who belong to Christ, only those who possess Christ, mystery of mysteries, but both are true. Christ possesses us, and we possess Christ. Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. And this eternal life is bound up in the Son of God, inseparably related to Christ. And when we have Christ, we have eternal life. And eternal life and Christ are coexistent. And this is what we have. And we're talking about the essence of salvation. Again, I read verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. But then, and we're leading up to the verse on assurance, verse 13. But then we come to the division of humanity in verse 12. I've already referred to it, but let's see how it's stated here. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Again, you realize that this life is something more than mere existence. Because all of humanity is divided into two categories. And one category has life, those who have the Son, capital S, the Son of God. And the other category does not have the Son, and therefore does not have life. There are two possibilities and only two. There are two categories and only two. There are those, number one, who have the Son of God. He who has the Son has life. And there are, number two, the category of those who do not have the Son. It's as simple as that. To have the Son of God is to be united to Him. To have the Son of God is to be bound up in God Himself. When we are Christians, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and the Son is present in the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Well, we might deduce that from the fact that the triune Godhead is one God, even though in three persons, but one God, indivisible. I say the term, though I couldn't explain it, but that's what the Bible teaches us. But furthermore, the Bible makes it clear when it tells us, for example, that those who trust in Jesus, Christ comes into them, comes to them, and dwells in them. And yet elsewhere we are told that those who trust in Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Now, does that mean we have two separate and completely different divine entities within us? No. That means that in having Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. Or to put it the other way around, to have the Holy Spirit is to have Christ. And to have the Son is to trust Him continuously. And that's one category, those who have the Son of God. But there's the other category, those who do not have the Son of God, because they do not believe in Him, and are not united to Him, and are not indwelt by God's Spirit, and do not have eternal life. And that's why we need to understand that salvation is a divine rescue out of the old realm into the new, and that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, and is the only path for that divine rescue. And therefore, all of humanity is either in Christ or outside of Christ, or either have eternal life or don't have eternal life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And that is the essence of salvation in verses 11 and 12. And tomorrow we will take up assurance of salvation in verse 13. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.